Prabhupada is mentioning in the letter how execute our service peacefully. Please, this is a letter to Janaki. Prabhupada, in 1969, Prabhupada is saying, please do your duty combinedly with any disruption of peaceful attitude among yourselves. We are pushing our movement on the background of a peaceful atmosphere in the world, and if we show a little disturbance in our own camp, that will not be a very good example. Therefore, everyone should be forbearing, tolerant, and cool. Srila Prabhupada's letter to Garbha Muni. But one thing is, you must stop this fighting between brothers. Otherwise, the whole program will be spoiled. Yourself, Tamal Krishna, Brahmananda, Satsuru, Sri Prabhupada, Jai Sri Sri Radharani, Jai Sri Sri Prabhupada. You should do everything combined with it. That is my request. Gradually, by Krishna's grace, we are expanding. So if amongst us there is friction, it will be very dangerous. So Prabhupada always was very emphatic that devotees do not fight among themselves. Devotees do not get into conflict among themselves. So, and all of us remember this very important instruction that Prabhupada gave. Your love for me will be shown by how you cooperate with each other to push this movement forward. Then another letter Prabhupada is writing to Brahmananda Prabhu in 1969. This is called Vaikuntha attitude. In the Vaikuntha, factually there is no fault in anyone. But there is another type of competition. The competition is that one devotee thinks of other devotees, how nicely they are serving the Lord. In a material world, the attitude is that everyone likes to think that I am doing better than others. This is material conception. In the spiritual sky, it is just the opposite. Everyone thinks that my contemporary devotees are doing better than me. We are trained to address God brothers as Prabhu, which means master. This means we shall try to find out always the serving side of our God brothers. Sometimes there are misgivings, but we should try to overlook. This is a very important one. Treating women as mothers. Meaning, in the Vaishnava community, the devotee should be extremely respectful towards women. In distributing love of Godhead, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates did not consider who was a fit candidate and who was not, nor where such distribution should or should not take place. They made no condition. This is from Chaitanya Charitamrita. In essence, duality means that we forget that we are part and parcel of Krishna. We want to enjoy separately from Him. We want to play the controller. This controlling tendency culminates in sex desire. Man-woman concept is synonymous with material consciousness. And these are the quotations from Srila Prabhupada. Becoming Krishna conscious means rising above duality. We have to become fixed in the consciousness that all are part and parcel of Krishna and for his pleasure, not ours. A devotee's foremost duty is to transcend the sex desire. This takes philosophical awareness, constant practice and perseverance. Aversion is not the solution. Attachment, aversion are two sides of the same coin. Srila Prabhupada, in the compassionate mood of the Panchatattva, has opened the treasure house of bhakti to all class of men and women. This offers us intense and unlimited opportunity to transcend material attachment and aversion and develop transcendental realization in Krishna. So addressing the woman as a mother, the word mother generates a mood of respect and sobriety. When we advise that women should be seen as mothers, we mean that our dealings with women should be reserved and respectful. Such conduct will minimize offensive mentality and dealings with other living entities. And women should behave as mothers also. In the practice of Krishna consciousness, segregation of sexes is essential. So there are some quotations, I'll read them, and then we'll go into some discussion. This is a letter to Garga Muni. Regarding the disturbance made by the women devotees, they are also living entities. They also came to Krishna. So consciously we cannot deny them. If our male members, the brahmacharis and sannyasis, if they become steady in Krishna consciousness, there is no problem. It is the duty of the male members to be very steady and cautious. This can be done by regular chanting, like Parikasana Gurudev. So another letter to Rai Ram Prabhu. Please guide your innocent girl sisters who have come to our shelter. Girls are more susceptible to the finer attachments of Maya. Boys are a little stronger. Mrinalini, Jadurani, and all other girls who are so qualified, good-looking, intelligent, educated, and seriously engaged in Krishna consciousness should always be given protection from the attachments of Maya. Letter to Garga Muni. Maya's most attractive feature is women and money. We Krishna conscious men have to deal with women and money in course of preaching work. And the only prophylactic measure to save us is not to accept them for our sense gratification. Then we shall remain strong enough. Materialistic people take everything for sense gratification. And Krishna conscious people take everything for Krishna's satisfaction. There is no fault in the thing as it is, namely women and money, but it becomes faulty by improper use, the improper use to accept them for our sense gratification. Then in a kind of a sympathetic letter and in a sort of a chastising mood, Prabhupada is saying, who has introduced these things? That women cannot have chanting japa in the temple. If the boys become agitated, then let the brahmacharis go to the forest. I have never introduced these things. The brahmacharis cannot remain in the presence of women in the temple. then they must go to the forest, not remain in New York City. Because in New York there are so many women. So how they can avoid seeing? Best thing is to go to the forest for not seeing any women. If they become so easily agitated, but then no one will either see them or and how our preaching work will go on. So Prabhupada is actually urging us to transcend these concept of duality, and this duality comes from the tendency for sense gratification. So, actually, that's the unique, I mean, I must say that the in Vedic culture, it was so nice. Like in Vedic culture, we are actually trained up from our childhood to treat women as mother, which means to have extreme respect for them. And it was also mentioned that it's actually a fact that when one develops respect for women, his character becomes strong. So that is why this culture of respect. The more we respect the women, the stronger our character is. And you can see that those who are weak character and debauchees and degraded individuals, they don't have respect for women. Because they don't have respect for women, they behave in that way. So Vedic culture is teaching us how to respect. Sometimes, recently it happened, one American girl who is there with us, she told me that she doesn't like the boy calling her mother. This grown-up was calling me mother. She's quite young. And I told her that it's not that they're calling you mother in that sense. By calling you mother, they are actually showing their respect to you. And then I explained to her, and she understood and she appreciated that. And that is what Krishna consciousness is meant for. Developing the right culture. This is the human culture. And you can see in the past also, this culture was quite prevalent. Like, when we are young, we are very much exposed to English literatures and English culture. Did you all read King Arthur and the Knights of the Round Table?
Yes.
Yes? What is the character of the knights?
Chivalry.
Chivalry. And their business was to save the women, save the damsels in distress. If they ever saw that anyone maltreating a woman, they would immediately take action. They had so much respect for women. And that's how they were chivalrous. That's why they carried tools. So you can see, even in the West, this culture of respecting women was prevalent. Very, very prominent way. It's only recently this culture is being lost in the West. And as a result of that, since the whole world is following the West, this culture is being destroyed. Anyway.
Maharaj, a question. Which is more spiritually advantageous, to call a female mother or Prabhu? I don't want to drag you into that, but since
you are dragging me there,
since the objective is there, what are you about?
Well, first of all, the expression Prabhu is a masculine expression.
Yes.
Naturally, in the Western countries, it is all right, calling a woman as Prabhu. But you know, when you call a woman Prabhu in India, you know, people get shocked. It's something like, you know, calling some Indian comes to America and start calling women as Mr. How do you feel? So that is a problem. And the thing is, okay, that is, as you said, like, you know, brought it up. Like someday, one day, somebody was telling me that because the women in the West want equality. They want equality. The men and women are equal. So my response to that was, no, men and women are not equal. The women are superior. That is how the culture should be. They're superior. When you call, if you're addressing them as mother, we are putting them in a higher pedestal.
The reason I brought that up is because Srila Prabhupada referred to some women, some of his disciples, women, as Prabhu.
Okay, my response to that is, sometimes the father may affectionately call the daughter princess. Then does it lead us to a culture where all the women should be called princess? Prabhupada may have affectionately in some cases, may have. But that is, actually, I took a statistics with senior disciples of Srila Prabhupada, whether they ever experienced Prabhupada addressing verbally anyone as Prabhupada, any woman as Prabhupada. No one could remember. I had spent, not a long time, but quite closely, I spent time with Srila Prabhupada. I never heard Srila Prabhupada addressing anyone as Prabhupada. Like it was only some writing and some letters it has come up. I don't know how it came up. But the thing is, okay, now if we want to establish a culture like that, then let us consider, isn't our business sadhu, shastra and guru? Okay, in the past, has anyone ever addressed any of our, you know, sampradaya? Addressed to women as Prabhu, sadhu. Any sadhu has addressed women as Prabhu. In the Shastra, do we get a single mention of a woman being addressed as Prabhu? Even Radharani has been addressed as Prabhu. In the entire scripture, I haven't come across any instance when a woman has been addressed as Prabhu. And Guru, like, as I mentioned, like Prabhupada, we never heard Prabhupada addressing anyone as Prabhupada. So how can we establish a culture, establish a system which is not substantiated or supported by Sadhu Shastra, and maybe you can say Guru. But will your Guru act in defiance to Sadhu and Shastra? No.
I want, staying in the same subject but slightly off, because sometimes people will say that this is a transplanted Indian culture, but I argue against that, that most European cultures, like say in Ireland, there was a matchmaker. Most marriages were arranged. And the first association between the prospectives would be chaperoned. There was no free dating. Same thing even in the Jewish culture. There's a famous song, "Matchmaker, Matchmaker, Make Me a Match," from a musical. That was the, and in Italy, the same thing. There was matchmakers. They arranged the marriages. They protected their daughters.
Yes.
And they would chaperone. Now, in the, yes, men have become abusive or misused, just like the Kshatriyas you were talking about. Become so. They make adjustments, false adjustments. But the real point is that it is our culture. If we're identifying then on the bodily platform as European Americans, it is European Americans' culture to be protective of their daughters.
Yes. Like as you said, like the girls were not left alone. A chaperone used to be there even when they were mixing with the boys. Like, but now what is happening? Like, you know, I get to hear things, you know, it's really, you know, extremely disgusting. Like, I mean, now they can find partners, like, you know, in internet. Like, women are, and their photographs are there, and the other party sends the photograph, and then they meet, you know, like, and, like, you know, the whole society is becoming so promiscuous. So this is the point, you know, like, the real human culture, the real purpose of human life is to conquer sex desire in order to go back to God, in order to go back to a spiritual identity. Because sex desire is the thing that ties us down to the material nature. Therefore, material nature has been described as Maithun Agara, the prison house of sex desire. With the sex desire, we are chained down to this material nature. So the purpose is to overcome sex desire. But nowadays, there is promotion, massive promotion of sexual promiscuity. Yes.
You were mentioning earlier about chastity.
Yeah.
In antiquated times, and I read one diary written by a lady who was living in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, close by here, and they were controlled by the northern troops were there. And she's writing that she was walking down the street one day, and one Yankee soldier looked at her lustfully. And she immediately reported it to his commander, and he was severely punished for glancing at her husband. Just during the Civil War time.
This is the thing, you know, like, I mean, in simple words we can say that the world was so much more civilized in those days. And what is happening to human civilization? Anyway, I mean, this is a responsibility that we, the members of ISKCON, have to re-establish the proper human culture. We don't even have to go as far as Vedic culture, as you pointed out. It's, you know, like, well, I mean, that culture, which Vedic culture is promoting, was prevalent all over the world in the early days. Is just common sense culture. Okay. So now I'm going to the last point, which is very important. The blasphemy of a Vaishnava, or Vaishnava. When we are dealing with each other, we have to be very, very careful how we deal with each other. We have to be very, very careful. Out of the 10 offenses to the holy name, was the first one? So, and we have to be very careful that we do not. Rather, what is the opposite concept of blasphemy? Praise. And the blasphemy comes out of hatred. Praise comes out of love. And that is our culture, the culture of love. Krishna consciousness is a culture of love. This love is offered to Krishna, and that love is reflected on different other entities in different. Our love for Krishna is reflected towards the equals in the form of friendship, to the other Vaishnavas in the form of friendship, to the juniors or those who did not accept Krishna consciousness but innocent in the form of compassion, and those who are averse to Krishna, that love for Krishna is reflected in the form of disregard. So these are the basic rules or basic natural outcome of our relationship. The basis, very foundation is loving exchange. When our love becomes when our heart becomes full of love, then this kind of dealings will become natural. So our love for the juniors will be shown in the form of affection and compassion. Like nowadays we hear so much of abuse, especially abuse of children. The world is becoming aware of that and awakening on that concern. The children should not be abused. But they are concerned about that because it has become so rampant, so prevalent. But our culture is affection. The love for the juniors is displayed in the form of affection. And they need it. And when they get that, their heart becomes filled with respect. And that reciprocation becomes natural. And among the equals, there should be friendship. And in that friendship, there should be appreciation, as Prabhupada pointed out. That Vaikuntha mood is opposite to the materialistic. In the material nature, when we see that someone is rising, someone is prospering, someone is succeeding, we become envious. Why him? Why not me? That is the very basics of that envy. Why him? Why not me? But you can consider, like, when our object of love becomes successful and prosperous, then we become proud. When the son achieves something great, the father and mother become so proud. My son has done that. Why? Because there is love. And Prabhupada is pointing out that in Vaikuntha, there is love, and as a result of that loving attitude towards each other, their mood is, oh, he has done so well, let me glorify him. Or let me help him so that he can do even better. So that should be our attitude among our equals. Let go, achieve. Some wonderful things for. And that's how this movement is going to grow. And then when the movement grows, we all become proud of it. We all become jubilant about those achievements. And the offenses are meaning that we shouldn't hurt the other Vaishnava's feelings. A Vaishnava is one who is actually cultivating Krishna. He is becoming Krishna conscious, who is sitting in his heart. So when we hurt him, then Krishna feels that. That's how we have to see. When you are hurting a Vaishnava, we are actually hurting Krishna. Because he is Krishna conscious. He is aware of Krishna in his heart. And these hurt feelings can be caused by harsh words in the form of blasphemy. This hurt can be caused by inflicting physical pain. and this insult or blasphemy can be caused by four different considerations. By judging him from his, due to his past activity. Oh, in the past you have done something, so you are doomed forever. We should be very careful that we shouldn't judge a Vaishnava according to his past, because the process of Krishna consciousness is a process of purification. Like Jagai Matai overnight became pure devotees. They were the worst criminals. But by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's and Mahaprabhu's touch, they immediately became pure. Now should we judge Jagai Matai from their past activities or according to their transformation? Therefore, we cannot say when the transformation took place. Therefore, let us not judge a Vaishnava from his past. He may have been sinful in the past, but now he is a Vaishnava. We should not judge a Vaishnava by his birth. Oh, you are born in a low-class family. You are a Sudra, you are a this, you are one who has accepted Krishna consciousness, he has transcended his bodily platform. So we cannot possibly judge him according to his bodily designation. The body may be sutra, body may be this, body may be that. But now he is a spirit soul. Therefore we should be very careful not to judge Vaishnava by his birth. So, we should not inflict pain on a Vaishnava by hitting him. Or even we should not speak ill about a Vaishnava in his absence. We should not speak unfavorably about a Vaishnava when he is not present. These are the few principal considerations of Vaishnava. And when some offense is committed, then how to rectify that? We should just go to that Vaishnava and beg for it. Please forgive. And Vaishnava also is so magnanimous, his reaction will be, no, there was no offense. I consider it to be an offense. So this is how we should deal with each other. And also one thing we must also consider, sometimes devotees fight. In one such occasion when devotees fought, and it was reported to Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada said, don't worry about that. He said, in a family, brothers also fight with each other. And after 5 minutes, they become friends. So that should be our attitude. Sometimes we may have disagreement among ourselves, but after 5 minutes we should go, Prabhupada, please forgive me. I'm so sorry. And he also will embrace us, and together we'll offer obeisance to each other. Mancha galpa taru pashya Thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Lord Kenanandi. Yes, Radha Chan Prabhu.
I forgot the name of the Upanishad, but there is one shloka on the Vaishnava Paras. Can I read that?
Please.
It says, Hanti nindanti vaidveshti Vaishnavan na abhinandanti Kruddate ja ati no harsha Darshan padanani shat. There are six type of offenses.
Yeah,
go ahead,
read the
No translation, I have to. Hanti means to beat or hit somebody. Nindanti, of course. Dveshti means to dvesh.
Envious.
Being envious. and na abhinandanti, means when you see a Vaishnava, you do not receive him with good sweet words, not greet him. And then kruddate, become angry at him. No, jo ati no harsha. And by seeing a Vaishnava, not to become happy. These are the six
verses. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Any other question? Yes?
I was just wondering, in cultivating respect to women, as you were saying, traditionally in ISKCON, like during RT, the men are always getting the ghee lamp first and everything. And I was just wondering if that maybe is part of that culture of not showing or cultivating respect to women.
Yeah, very good. Very good point. You see, it's more like because, you know, again, not only just in the Vedic culture, it used to be the culture in the past. The men were in the front and the women were at home. That's why, you know, like things, this kind of practice had become quite prevalent. And another way to look at it, the mothers feel that the children have it first.
I have one question. In the Narottam Das Thakur, the one song he sang, Jahare dekhile mukhe aise Krishna naam, tahare janiyo bhaire Vaishnava pradhan. So now here we noticed, especially in Bengal or in India some part, there are lots of Sahajya or some other Sampradaya Vaishnava, you know. So they dressed so nice, and if you see them, it looks like, oh, they are very great Vaishnava. But they are Sahajya or Mayavadi, or they are, you know, but they are not following this or this.
Yeah, that's why by seeing them, you don't chant Hare Krishna. Whereas, when ISKCON devotees go, everyone says Hare Krishna. Right? So that shows who is Vaishnava Pradhan, who is the greatest Vaishnava, or Uttama Hare Krishna. Just by seeing the devotees, doesn't it happen? It happened here also. It happens here also. Like, when was it? Yesterday. Yeah, when I was going through the immigration, the security check. I have TSA, so I was going through TSA. And that person who was checking it looks at me and he says, Hare Krishna. And he's seeing me. And also, with Rohini Nandan, yesterday we went to a nursery, you know, flowering plants. Just check some flowering plants there. And one person, just when we are about to get into the car, this person comes and says, you're a Hare Krishna, you know? Right? So, like, they are seeing the devotees and they are recognizing them and chanting Hare Krishna. In India it was very prevalent, I remember, when lots of Western devotees used to be there, people used to just say Hare Krishna, and Hare Krishna going. Or, he's a Hare Krishna.
Some devotees told me that, Steve, are you there with the Chibora? The Walmart?
Yeah, we were at Walmart just nearby a few days ago, and we were dressed like this. And one much older lady saw us, and she said, Hare Krishna, I haven't seen you guys in 40 years. I used to see you every day, or all the time, down in New Orleans. She's from New Orleans. And then she said, well, it's really nice to see you. I wanted to tell you guys, just keep doing what you're doing and don't let anybody stop you. And you got an opportunity to do her book also.
Maharaj, I remember one past time of Prabhupada, and Prabhupada was flying to Australia. Next to Prabhupada, one Christian priest was sitting. And Prabhupada was telling him that, do you know Hare Krishna? He was just saying, well, I don't know Hare Krishna. And Prabhupada said, Hare Krishna is very famous. And Christian priest was saying that even Christianity is very famous everywhere. And Prabhupada was keep on saying that Hare Krishna, everybody knows. So when they landed in Australian airport, so they were standing in a line, and the guy was immediately, they called Prabhupada, they said, Hare Krishna, you don't have to stand in line. And Prabhupada looked at him and said, we are famous.
I'll tell you something. The other day we went to Lowe's to buy some construction material because a lot of construction is going on in our project in Malanga. And when we walked in, one person was just calling us. He was an employee of Lowe's. It was just at the entrance there was one department. And like he was manning the department. And so the devotee who was with me, he kind of didn't want to respond to him. But I thought since he is calling, let me just see what he has to say. So I walked up to him and he took out a $20 bill and gave it to me. So I mean, the respect for sadhus are even becoming a commonplace activity here. Yes?
Yeah, I want to sing one song, one bhajan, about, because we are talking about Vishwa and how we are.
You can do it in the evening during the arati. You can do that. Yes. Yes.
Maharaj, you were speaking earlier about reading people and showing compassion, and you know, sometimes in temples, maybe there's not a need as far as when people come to maybe greet them, make them feel like they're part of the family. And the bigger your temple becomes, it's easier for people to slip through the cracks where they may go and not feel that they're part of that community.
Yeah.
And the children, I know that my spiritual master, Jayapadhyam Swami, he was saying one time that sometimes those people that they end up going to the Baptist church down the road, and there immediately they're embraced. The children are embraced, the people are embraced. And so could you just talk a little bit about the importance of making sure, and I don't know who it is, I mean in our temple we're so small, so we knew who the older devotees are that should be checking on people, but maybe just the importance of that, making people feel like they're part of
very good, very good point. Yeah, like we hear it again and again, you know, like sometimes we hear that somebody greets somebody. And that other person says, oh, I've been coming to this temple for so long. And you're the first one who actually greeted me. And I've been coming here, but nobody cares. And now we have to recognize that our Prabhupada time and time again pointed out that ours is a personal movement. Personal movement. But this kind of activity, this kind of attitude is impersonal. So sooner we overcome that, better will be for us. And I, since we are here, I will request, is Shadadev here?
Yes.
Okay, New Orleans Temple devotees, make it a point to receive the devotees, receive the visitors when they come. You're in a big city, many people are coming, and many a times I told you all also, that on Sundays so many young students are coming to take prasad, but they don't, you know, have any kind of interaction with the devotees. Because you all don't take that initiative. So take that initiative. Make them feel at home. Make them, you know, make them welcome. Yes?
Maharaj, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was there in Puri, that time a lot of Vyasta devotees has to go every year to see him now, during Rath Yatra festival. So they ask when they supposed to leave Puri and come back home back again. So they used to ask two, three times that what is our duty. Then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told them Sadhu Sangha and also Vaishnava Seva. What exactly Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told about Vaishnava Seva to pierce the devotees of Sri Lanka?
He said, Sadhu Sangha Vaishnava Seva, associate with the devotees and serve the devotees. Right? Serve the devotees. And there are four principles of service. That is, six actually. Dadati, pratigrihati, guiha makhati, vichati, bhumte, chaiva, sadvidha pritidakshana. These are the six kinds of loving exchange. Giving gifts. And accept gifts from them. Guiha makhati, inquire about his problems and his difficulties and so forth. And reveal your heart also. And feed him and accept prasad. So these are the sadhvidha pratidakshana, six types of loving exchange. Yes, you have a question?
Regarding the Mahamapura, you also mentioned and Prabhupada explained the ninth chapter of Bhagavad Gita. If you see on Vaishnava temporary or sometimes he is not following the regulative principle or temporary he fell down, but you should not criticize. Hmm. But in ISKCON, among the devotees, always we are criticizing. It's like if somebody, we see somebody has doing something wrong, even the some Prabhupada disciple who are so respected, Prabhupada also mentioned on this criticizing, but they get punished. And that, actually this is different level, but we are very low, like our level is so low. But sometimes, you know, we devotees are criticizing, but...
At least yourself you don't do that, and when you see that others are doing it, tell them not to do that. That's how we'll be able to stop. Like, you know, the thing is that it's time and time again to be pointed out that we have to avoid Vaishnava Aparada in all these things. Must try to avoid Vaishnava. So these are the offenses.
What is the relationship between the consciousness and the spirit soul, and what is the actual?
What is the relationship between consciousness and spirit soul? Spirit soul is the source of consciousness. Just as light comes from fire, consciousness is coming from the spirit soul. Okay. Right? Spirit soul is the source, and the consciousness is coming from. And the consciousness is what making us aware of things. We are seeing, we are hearing, we are tasting, we are touching. So, how is this happening? How are all these things happening? Because of consciousness. This consciousness is flowing through our senses and the senses of perception. When that consciousness is coming from the spirit soul.
So it's considered, it's also like a transcendental?
It is, consciousness is spiritual,
yeah,
but it is now being projected onto the materials.
Oh, okay.
Connected. Through the body, through the subtle body, mind, through the gross body, through the senses, it's going to be consciousness is being projected into the material creation. And now, this consciousness should be originally, should be presented to Krishna. Because coming from Krishna, therefore we should become aware of Krishna. And the consciousness is what is creating the awareness.
Awareness.
So we should, with our consciousness, we should become aware of Krishna. And that is the meaning of Krishna consciousness. Thank you. Last question.
যে তার আমাদের যতটুকু দরকার আমাদের খাওয়া বা ইনকাম করা বা কিছু, কিন্তু আমাদের তো কোনো শেষ হচ্ছে না, মানে ইনকামের কোনো আসার কোনো শেষ নেই, একটার পর একটা মনে হয় যত করি মনে হয় আর একটু করে আরো আরো বাড়তে
থাকে,
মানে যত মানে আর্ন করছি আরো বেশি মনে হয় আরো কিছু করি আরো কিছু হচ্ছে না, এটা আরো লাগবে, এরকম কেন হচ্ছে?
কেন কেন হচ্ছে? এটা হওয়া উচিত না, উচিত না, কিছু যদি না হয় তাহলে এটাকে দমন করার চেষ্টা করে, আর যদি প্রত্যাহার করতে প্রতি আহার করতে হয় তাহলে প্রসাদ খাও, যেটা বললাম আতঙ্ক কুড়িয়ে করো প্রসাদ সেবন। আর দ্বিতীয় কথা হচ্ছে যে যদি অন্য বিষয়ে সংগ্রহ ইয়ে থাকে তাহলে সেটা কৃষ্ণের জন্য করে, টাকা পয়সা রোজ করতে ইচ্ছে করছে অনেক টাকা, ঠিক আছে করো, ওই টাকাটা কি করবে
কৃষ্ণকে দাও,
ফ্যামিলির জন্য তো যতই করছি ফ্যামিলি মনে যেন আরো লাগবে,
বাকিটা আমাকে দিয়ে দিও। He's asking that that we are saying that we should not, Swami Prabhupada is mentioning that we should not eat more than necessary and try to endeavor to possess things more than necessary. So he says the more he does it, the more he wants to get it. And so the answer to that was that if you realize that it shouldn't be done, then try to stop it. Don't do it. But if you can't do it, at least if you want to eat, eat Krishna prasad. And if you want to acquire money and things, then offer it to Krishna. After maintaining the family, whatever is there, offer it to Krishna.
Gotcha?